This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island. Tonight is Bible study night, and it's family night. We've got classes for kids, classes for young people, young adults, and then we've got our adult class as well, where we are going through the Gospel of John. And I'd like to take just a moment to invite you out to that. Produce a study guide. And this is not just your average, ordinary, study guide that that you can go online and find. This is pretty substantial material. I want to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, and that is got multiple layers to it. That's really what we started off here in 1 John teaching about, is that teaching, the way that God teaches, is really layered. It's built upon this and built upon, layer by layer by layer. And so the more anchored in the Word of God that the people of God are, the more they're going to recognize God's voice, the more they're going to recognize God's heart, the more that they are going to acknowledge God's authority in their life and are going to live their life in accordance with the Word of God. That's what our goal is. So it's not me just looking to fill up, a Wednesday night study or anything like that. It's to equip people with the Word of God. So we'd like to invite you out 7 o'clock tonight, 165 North Grove Street. We've got tables, we got chairs, we got the study guides, we've got the pens. All we need is you. Hope to see you tonight at 7 p.m. Verse number 18 of 1 John chapter 3 is where we are going to go today. So yesterday's program, we ended in verse number 17. I think I'll start reading verse number 16, leading into verse number 18, and then we'll read on down to verse number 24. By this we know, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Making a little note there to myself. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him, and by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. So if you remember when we started here in 1 John, we started off looking at that God wanted to teach us how to abide in him. It's really what brought us here. It's in verse number 27. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. So there was a teaching on how to abide. The principle of an abiding relationship where God is abiding in you and you are abiding in him is that it's a permanent relationship. You don't want to go anyplace. You don't want him to go anyplace. You know, so there's this minister that I know, known him for a long time. And, you know, he made this statement about his wife. I'm sure he heard it from somebody else. He said, I told my wife that if she ever left me, I was going with her because she, outside of Jesus, was the best thing that had ever happened to me. And, you know, that gets a chuckle whenever he says that. But it really should be true that we are looking not just for an occasional, you know, interaction with someone, but instead we're looking for a permanent relationship that says, look, I'm in this not just for the event. I'm in this for the journey from the starting line to the finish line. So that teaching about abiding, it talks about us abiding in Christ, Christ abiding in us, God, having the words that we hear abide in us, the anointing that abides in us. It talks about here in verse number 17, how does the love of God abide in him? And the indicator is that if the love of God is abiding in you, then you are not going to be hard-hearted toward your brother in need. So when we were talking about that yesterday, we were talking about the different dynamics of relationships. So there's a dynamic that exists between people who are walking in covenant of one husband and one wife, that there's a different dynamic for family. There's a different dynamic for spiritual family. And then there's dynamic of expressing love towards your enemies. You're supposed to bless them and you love them by telling them about Jesus. So we're talking about the relationship of brothers in Christ, and it says that we're supposed to have the love of God abide in us. And so if we are hard-hearted towards those in need, and by that I mean legitimate need, that, you know, every once in a while, for instance, I bought a car, I'd done a wedding, they gave me $50 to do the wedding. I asked about the car that was sitting in their backyard. This is a long time ago, and they said, you know, it's got an engine knock, it runs, but you know, my wife needed something to get back and forth to the church from. She worked at the church, and I drove 63 miles each way to work at that point in time. And I said, man, that sounds like great. How much you want for it? And they said, how about $50? So they literally gave me $50 for the wedding, and then I gave them $50 for the car. Over the course of the next couple of weeks, there were 4 flat tires on that car. I don't know how long it had been sitting. The tire, and what was sad is they were a great brand of tire, but they had been not used for so long that the tread separated from them. And I got to, you know, find myself in a situation where that $50 turned into several hundred dollars because of needing new tires. That was a need that just popped up. It wasn't a consequence of, you know, intentional choices. Sometimes I found myself in situations where my choices created a problem in my life. It wasn't a crisis that just showed up on the horizon. It was a crisis of my own making. So I, you know, if you have a history of doing that, hopefully you learn the lesson to not create crises in your life. So make sure that you, and so let me go back just a little bit to say this. The longer you're in ministry, if you're not careful, the harder your heart can become towards people, because one of the things that you experience is that there are people who will come in and pretend to have a need when actually what they have is a job of being deceitful. And I've encountered that to the point that I spoke with a person one time about a situation. They told me where the people who supposedly had this need had told me where they were staying. I happened to know the person who was in charge at that facility. And so I called them. They had said that they had interacted with another church. I called the pastor of that church, found out that the things that they were telling me were not true, and then they were going back to that church and telling them things about me that weren't true. And when I spoke to the person that was in charge, they said, "Pastor, there are like 13 different churches that these people are conning to be able to, you know, basically not have a job." And, you know, whenever things dried up in this community, they would just move on to another community and start tapping into their generosity. And so you've got to remain sensitive, even in a world where there are people who are not upfront and honest, and they're not honest with themselves. So it's not like they're treating you any differently than they are themselves. So we have to, as believers, continue to guard our heart to make sure that the love of God abides in us. Now, that brings us to verse number 18. "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." So, again, the characteristic of believers and unbelievers, when we're looking in the spiritual mirror of God's word, we see that believers are people who love in action. They love in truth. They're upfront. They're honest. They're not there to enable people to stay in their sin, but instead they offer them the truth of God, which can deliver them and set them free. So those are the two characteristics. It's not that we just talk the talk, but that we walk the walk. So if you are going to love somebody, you know, there was that old song back in the 60s or 70s, "Love is All We Need." Well, love is not just that ooey-gooey feeling that comes over you whenever you're around somebody. Love is in action. It's in action when it's convenient. It's in action when it's inconvenient. Love is something that we are responsible for. God, it's a gift that comes from God, but we are in charge of the maintaining of that love and acting upon that. And so make sure that you are loving in action and you are loving in truth. It's the same way that we talk to people. We speak the truth, but we speak the truth in love. By this is verse number 19, "by this we know," that's one of those other emphasis words that appears repeatedly in verses, or in chapter 2, 3, and 4, "by this we know that we are of the truth." So this identifies the source, you know, that the byproduct of that knowledge that you are in an honest and sincere relationship where the love of God is abiding in you and that you are abiding in the truth, that truth assures our hearts before God. I don't just assume. I want to be assured. And so I hope that when you stand before God, that there is an assurance that comes from the Word of God and comes from your relationship with Him. And again, you cannot allow your feelings to be the determining factor. The Word of God is the authority in our life. So, in all honesty, last night was a very difficult night of sleep. It was followed by, or it was preceded by another difficult night of sleep. It was preceded by a difficult night of sleep before that. And I in the middle of the night, when all of these, you know, conversations are taking place in my head, I remember last night that there was this other voice, this still small voice, that said, you need to get into the Word, you need to get into your prayer closet and hear what I have to say, not what the circumstances have to say. And because I tell you, God's my commander in chief. And so that's my strategy for today. That's my goal for today. Hey, God, can I spend some time with you? Because I need every believer, I'll phrase it this way. Every believer needs to know their purpose. They need to know their place. They need to know their assignment. And they need to know that God is the one who's leading them and has a plan to lead them through whatever they might come across. So our hearts are meant by God. Our innermost being, which we are supposed to guard, is not intended by God to give us a false indicator of relational failure. It's meant to reassure us of a healthy relational dynamic that we have with the Father. So verse number 20 goes on, and it talks about what happens if our heart is condemning us. And just about every believer that I have ever encountered, any solid believer, a lot of times they will, or at some occasion in their life, they will have these moments where they're feeling condemned, and we have to remind ourselves that if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature, that we are not condemned. So let me read that verse to you. It's in Romans chapter 8. So there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There are many people who quote the first part of that verse. They don't go on to read the rest of the verse. To those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So that's the promise that we have of living a condemnation-free life. Here it presents us with the possibility in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 20, that at times our heart could attempt to condemn us. Like I said, I know me better than you know me. The only person that knows me better than me is God. And so if I have one perspective, I need to defer to God's perspective. So what happens if our heart is suddenly trying to condemn us when God is telling us, when you're walking the way that I want you to walk, you are not in condemnation? How do you respond to that? Well, you say God is greater than our heart. So 1 John 4:4 has this promise. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So at some point in time, you simply evaluate and say, we've got two different messages that are coming across. I've got the message that is coming from inside of me, and I've got the message that is coming from God. Whose voice am I going to elevate? And it makes a difference as to which one you choose. And you, if you are a wise person, you will choose to elevate God's voice. And God's voice is going to line up with his word. So when Absalom rebelled against David, Absalom had a counselor who had been David's counselor. His name was Ahithophel. And his counsel was highly revered in government circles. When Absalom rebelled, David prayed, and he had left a couple of people behind in the palace, and they were also counselors, and they were to give Absalom the counsel that was opposite of Ahithophel. Absalom chose their counsel over Ahithophel's, and Ahithophel said, "This is going to end very, very badly." And I can tell you that if we choose to listen to, whether it's our spirit or whether it is the things of the world, if we choose to elevate any voice over God's voice, over God's word, then it's going to end very, very badly. So if our heart is condemning us, but God is not condemning us, we need to acknowledge this: God is greater than our heart. So I see a little window sticker from time to time. It says, "He is greater than I." And, you know, in math, you had the greater than and less than symbols, and they were basically the same symbol, only inverted. And a lot of times people get the words in the wrong place. They think, "I am greater than he." A lot of people think that they are smarter than God, that they're more holy than God. A lot of times people never entertain the thought that they could be wrong. They think that there is something that is wrong with God. So for believers, we realize that God is absolutely perfect. He's absolutely holy. He's all wisdom. He's the one who gives us our faith. He doesn't give us defective gifts. And so he is greater than our heart and knows everything there is to know. He is omniscient. That means he knows everything. He knows the thoughts that you think. He knows the intentions of your heart. He knows your actions. A lot of times you may have a heart to do something and you don't have the resources to do something. At that point in time, you have this capability. You have the ability to pray. So I am not a person who believes in living on a fixed income. I believe that God can give us wisdom, can give us opportunities that will generate income for us, that will cause our financial situation to not be one of slaves towards whatever source it is, but to realize that our financial blessings come from God. So God knows everything. Verse number 21, it says, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God." Now, I wrote down a warning here, and that is this. What about if our heart does not condemn us? Well, the reality is that our heart, in order for it to be giving a true witness to us, must be properly calibrated and aligned with God and God's word. So last night, I got on the scale before I went to bed. And I pressed the button that I'm supposed to press to get the scale working properly. It pulls it up, and then you're supposed to press the button again, and then you're supposed to get on the scale, and it will reflect your weight. And so I pressed the button, and I waited, and I pressed it again, And if I'd got on the scale at that point in time, it would have registered that I had lost 100% of my weight. And I would have grabbed the scale. I would have hugged the scale. I would have thrown a celebration for the scale, because it would have reflected that I was no longer overweight. There was only one problem. The scale wasn't working. And so I'm probably going to have to change the battery, but I'm not 100% sure it's a battery issue at this point in time. But in order for that scale to give me an accurate reflection of what I was asking it for, it has to be working. So there are many people who live their life as unbelievers, and they don't feel condemned. They don't feel any remorse of sin. They don't feel any consequence of sin. And it's not because their life is right with God. It's because their conscience has been seared. It doesn't mean that everything is okay. So, but if our heart is sensitive to God, if it is being ruled and reigned by God, and our heart does not condemn us, here's what it does for us. It creates in us a confidence before God. We have confidence before God. It means that not only does God know the reality of my situation, but I know the reality of the situation because of God's word, and because he's abiding in me, I'm abiding in him, his love, I'm abiding in his love, his anointing is abiding in us, and there's all of this blessing, all of this provision from God that is filling the house, okay? So when we first moved into our house, there was very little furniture. We came from a very small confined area to a house that was larger than the area. Now it's considered a small house compared to some of the big old, you know, 3,000 square foot, 4,000 square foot homes that some people have. My wife said, we have to get stuff to fill the house. And I said, why? Well, let me tell you this about God. God not only wants to give you a house, but the word of God says that he fills the house with good things. And so as we're abiding in Christ and he's abiding in us, there's the entourage of confidence, of faith, of love, of anointing, of teaching. All of that fills the house. That gives us confidence with him. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.